the one that our hearts and lives need. He was born in Bethlehem about 2,020 years ago. Let's read of that birth. Luke 2. And then we'll read a description of who this baby is in Luke 1. Luke 2, verses 1 through 21, page 1018 in your pew Bibles. Luke 2, 1 through 21. Let's worship God as we read these familiar words. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Then let's turn back to Luke 1. And we'll start reading at verse 26. What kind of king this son of David will be? Luke 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." It's especially verses 32 and 33 that we want to focus on as our text. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, The angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news. And that word in the Greek is evangelize. I evangelize you. And bringing good news was an ancient tradition of governments when a new government had been formed or a new king had arrived on the scene. Then a herald would be sent out on horseback to go from place to place and announce through the whole empire, I bring you good news. I evangelize you. We have a new king. We have a new king. And that's exactly what happened on this morning, on this day. But from the kingdom of heaven, God sent a herald, not on horseback, but as an angel to evangelize the shepherds and all the nations. We have a new king. We have a new king. Good news of great joy. And that's what we want to see this morning. A new government was planted on this earth. The only government that can truly solve the problems of human guilt and corruption and sickness and misery and bring us into a new world. The government of Jesus, King Jesus. We want to see three things. First of all, that this king will be great. Look again at verse 31. How Gabriel said to Mary, behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great. That's the first thing. He will be great. And great here means not physically a giant, like tall King Saul, but powerful, supremely authoritative. Greatness as the greatness of the Son most of the Most High. Not great like John, who's also called great in chapter 1, verse 15, great as a prophet, but a far greater greatness, great as a king who's the Son of the Most High God, which John was not. Remember, John said when he came, after me is coming one mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. He acknowledged that Jesus is infinitely greater than he. He will be great. He doesn't look really great in Luke 2. A little baby. His mom is a very, very poor person coming from Nazareth. I don't want to say what that might be like, but coming from a little hick town that nothing really ever happens there. Nobody important comes from there. He's born in Bethlehem, a little town. There's no place for them in the inn, so he's put in a manger, a cattle trough, probably out in a cave somewhere in the fields. He will be great. Later on, people will say, how can this be the Messiah? He's the son of a carpenter. He's from Nazareth. He has no place to lay his head. How can he be great when he's arrested? He's stripped naked, nailed to a cross, and killed. You can't tell me Jesus is great. And look at his followers, the church. What a pathetic lot of people. They have no army. They have little power. They're hunted, persecuted, and killed. And the only weapon they carry is some Bible, some big book. What do you mean he will be great? He will be great. Absolutely great, supremely powerful, with absolute authority. This King Jesus, Charles Spurgeon writes, and is it not proven that he is great? Conquerors are great, and Jesus is the greatest of them. Deliverers are great, and Jesus is the greatest of them. Saviors are great, and Jesus is the greatest of them. Jesus is great in the perfection of his nature. Jesus is great in the grandeur of his offices. Jesus is great in the splendor of his achievements. Jesus is great in the numbers of those he rescues. Jesus is great in the estimation of his people. No one is greater than Jesus. He's great in wisdom. He's great in holiness. He's great in power. He's great in love. He's great in majesty. Now, if you're like me, when governments are great, be afraid. Because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Besides, anarchy, dictatorship is the worst form of human government. Wise governments have systems of checks and balances. You don't want somebody to be supremely great in human governments, unless, there's one exception, unless that dictator is perfectly wise and good. Then you want a dictatorship of that kind, because only such a king will use his greatness for perfect justice and to bring a new world. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one we need, the one we have been given. And here's how you see greatness and manger come together, because Jesus didn't come to be great in the sense of squishing people and making them serve him, but coming, as he said, to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. You see in the manger the shape of the cross already, humility. He's coming to serve, to seek and save the lost. He's lowering himself to take the low and lift them up and make them great. That's what Mary said in her song. He will be great. And when the one who is great is good, we thank God for sending down such a king. Your eternal joy rests on having a relationship with this king, believing in him and trusting your whole life to him, your family to him, your business to him, your health to him, even giving your sins to him. He'll handle it just fine. He did on the cross, where he came to suffer and die for us. His greatness is seen in his power and his love, perfectly combined. There's no king ever like him. This is an amazing moment. All kinds of governments have been tried in the history of the world. All kinds of kings, queens, emperors, presidents, prime ministers, parliaments. And they're more or less okay, but they all fail to solve the biggest problems in the human race. Jesus is great. He is the one we need, the wonderful, merciful Savior we need. What do you do with his greatness? You take refuge in it, in him. Put your life in his hand, your future in his hand. He'll take away your sins. He'll set you free from Satan's stranglehold. He'll heal your diseases and bring you to God and to glory. He'll give you eternal life. We see, secondly, he's the divine king. He will be great because he is divine. That's what it says in verse 32b. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Son of God. You read that phrase, the Most High, again in verse 35. Just look a few verses later to verse 35. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God, the Most High." The demons also knew that Jesus was the Son of the Most High. Remember how they would say to him, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" That's why they were afraid of him. It means he is divine. Jesus is divine. John is called the prophet of the Most High. 1 verse 76. Jesus is called the Son of the Most High. And if you look in the Bible, what it means to be Son of the Most High is, by analogy, the same thing that it means that you are a son of your dad. It means you share the same nature as your dad. You're both fully and equally human. Well, for this baby to be the Son of the Most High God means he shares the same nature as his dad, his Father in heaven. He's equal to him in divinity. And that's why the Jews, when Jesus called God his own father, in a very special relationship, They took up stones to throw it at him and kill him because he had made himself out to be equal to God. It's found in John 5. Son of the Most High means he's God. He's divine. He's not only the son of Mary, really completely human, so he can take our place and die our death and swallow our hell to set us free. Not only really and completely human and like us in every way except for sin, son of Mary, but also at the same time the son of God, fully divine, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, creator, all-wise. Again, the miracle is beyond our understanding. The one Mary conceived is her creator. The one Mary conceived is her creator. Mary delivers the divine king who delivers her. Mary carries the divine child who's been carrying Mary her whole life. Mary swaddles, she clothes the baby who has always clothed her, and she feeds the baby who has always fed her. Son of God. And on that day, because God looked on the earth and saw that no human governments were doing it for us, were solving our problems and bringing us to everlasting peace and glory, he was appalled and he said, I will come down. And he came down in his son and set up the perfect government on earth. It was planted that day. God's government was planted on earth at last. And of the increase of his government, there will be no end. What's the name of this divine king, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting father, meaning ruler, and Prince of Peace? How could you reject such a king to reign over you? How could your life be hurt by giving yourself to him other than him destroying what's bad in you? And if that's the kind of hurt and pain it causes to belong to King Jesus, praise the Lord. He's perfecting me. What a king. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. You know, when Soviet children were afraid in a thunderstorm back in the old Soviet Union, some of you might remember that still, or in times of hunger, their teachers and their parents would come up to their children and say, it's okay, Stalin is with you. Oh, what small comfort to know that the big bad butcher, Stalin, is by your bed, is by your side, who eats people up like they're his dinner whenever he doesn't like them. God has come down in Jesus Christ, and he's Emmanuel, God with us, and he's not the big bad butcher like Stalin. He is the good, loving God. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's so much to be afraid of in this life because we're so weak and so vulnerable. We're afraid of what people can do to us. We're afraid of the hurtful things people say to us. We're afraid of what the future holds for us in a COVID lockdown culture. We're afraid of monsters who prowl the neighborhoods looking for kids to kidnap. We're afraid of losing one of our children. We're afraid of not being able to pay the mortgage. We're afraid of losing our health and independence as we grow older. We're afraid of so much, and we should be because we're weak. Above all, we should be afraid of God. Rightly so. Of his wrath and judgment, of standing before him alone, dressed in all our guilt. Except this good God has come down in love. He saw us in our sin. And he said, I want to take that upon myself and set you free from it. So whatever makes you unlovely and unrighteous and acceptable to God, I will clear away so I can have you, hold you, love you, and care for you in my almighty arms forever. This divine king is worthy of all your confidence. He forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and gives you eternal life. Glory to God in the highest. And when this king surrounds you with his all-powerful arms, you are safe from everything. Life, death, angels, principalities, demons, present, future, height, depth. Safe from everything in all creation. Nothing can separate you from his love. His love is so eternally strong as our divine king. And that's what we see thirdly. Why should we trust this new government God has sent? This good news he has brought of a new king? Because he is great, because he's divine, and he is eternal. Again, verses 32 and 33 of Luke 1, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Number one, he's the son of David who sits on David's throne. Because Mary is betrothed to Joseph, and Joseph is from the house of David. But being born into this family, Jesus is legally brought into the house of David. He's an heir to the throne. And he's going to take David's throne just as God promised. Except this. Everybody who sat on David's throne before was a failure. They sinned and they died. They were just types. At last. And that's the other thing about this eternal king. At last comes the eternal one who will sit on the throne forever. And his kingdom will be forever, it says. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end at last. In the kingdom of heaven, we don't have to deal with the elections or election fraud. We don't have to deal with transitions of governments and power. We don't have to deal with revolutions. Jesus has been reigning on the throne for 2,000 years. He'll be there for your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren till he comes back. He's not only infinitely powerful, he's eternally powerful. In a world of whirl and a culture of change and uncertainty, in a world where there's no stability, no peace, and no rest. In a world where our culture thinks it's scary to bring an Oakland and an Emily into the world. Oh, this is a scary world to bring a baby into, guys. You sure? You dare do that? It's natural to think that way. We all have those fears, right? But we have a king who's on the throne, and he will not be toppled, and he's good. And all who believe in him, he's bringing you to everlasting glory. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when it says he's going to rule over the house of Jacob forever, you think, oh, Jesus is a Jew who's the king of Jewish people only. Not if you understand the Bible, because to be over the house of Jacob means that you have the promise that Jacob's family, Abraham's family, is one day going to include all nations. That's why Abraham's name was changed from Abram to Abraham. It means that we have a governor from Israel who's going to increase until all the nations are ruled by him. And when Jesus ascended, God the Father said to his son, I give you the nations as your inheritance. The eternal king. The eternal king. This is why it's safe for us to live in an unsafe world and us to bring children into an unsafe world. And why grandparents don't have to scold kids for having kids saying, you sure you want to raise kids in such a culture? Instead, we say the opposite. As a Christian, there's no hope. There's no hope like you have for raising a family. When we belong to Christ and take refuge in Him, we have a King who is strong. His almighty power will never let go of you. A King who is loving, gave His life for you to ransom you from your sin, and keeps forgiving you and loving you to the end. As often as you seek Him, He will take you. And you have a King who's eternal, always cares, always carries, always keeps you to the end. He'll not fail you. He'll not hurt you. Even your children are safe with Him. He says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And He says to all of us, "Come to me and I will give you rest. Believe in me and you will not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen.